Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my great pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, those who tune into Radio 4, the World Service, BBC 7, or on the internet. Welcome to the show, and it's a huge pleasure to welcome the four exciting, talented, and experienced players of the game who've joined us for this particular show. It's always a joy to have back that outstanding comedian, that stalwart of the show, whose contributions are invaluable, that is Paul Merton. It's always a pleasure to have on the show a man whose contributions in the comedy world are one of our youngest, great, successful comedians and a great contributor to Just a Minute. That is Ross Noble. It's also a pleasure to have someone who hasn't played it quite as frequently as the others, but is so marvellous when he does, and it's so successful up here in Edinburgh, and that is Julian Clary. And always a pleasure to have someone who's been playing the game consistently almost since the day it started. In fact, since the day it started, the ever-resourceful Clement Freud. Please welcome all four of them. On a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Besides me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Edinburgh. And we're in the Pleasance Courtyard, and we have a wonderful festival fringe audience in front of us who queued ages to get into it. And they're just eager and excited to get going. They're absolutely, they're throbbing with it out there. So let's start the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is breaking records. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I came up on a train from London, which was indeed breaking records. It braked coming into Stevenage, and then again applied the brakes on the way to Huntingdon. At Peterborough, you'd be amazed how it broke. Doncaster, York were other locations on which the driver applied the restrictive practices known as slowing down the train, where after we entered York, Dunbar,
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of York.
Yes, we've had York before,
we've
yes.
Had York.
Yes.
Was it one of those special trains that goes through York twice? It's a cheaper ticket. It takes longer. It's a cheaper ticket.
It goes longer, yes. It didn't get on to Newcastle. But anyway, Paul, you have a correct challenge. So in this game, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 30 seconds available. Breaking records starting now.
There's all sorts of dangerous records that used to be recorded in the Guinness Book of such things. But now a lot of them have been discontinued because they were considered just a little bit too frightening for human beings to indulge in. For example, there was the record that I believe was held by Mr. William Franklin of Gloucester, who managed to eat 47 pizzas in the space of 35 years. But he didn't really like them very much. And so it was the slowest number of Italian food base ever eaten by anybody forever out of the humankind.
Wait a minute, Clement Challenge, just before the whistle.
He has repeated eaten.
Yes, he'd eaten. He did.
It wouldn't be much of a record if he hadn't.
But to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute, you did repeat it, and Clement pressed his buzzer before the thing. He didn't win any friends for doing that, but he's got a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject. There's half a second to go, Clement. I know. Breaking records starting now.
Derek Abontree.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. You won't be surprised to know that he is in the lead at the end of that round, followed by Paul Merton, and the other two have yet to score. But Ross Noble, we'd like you to take the next round. And the subject now is chipmunks. Tell us something about... I don't know why you laugh. It's quite a good subject to talk on. He's had a few seconds to think about it. Start now.
Chipmunks are holy men that worship fried food. They have a special order in Scotland, funnily enough, where they gather themselves around a chippy, as it's known in these parts, or a friary is another way of describing that. you might find that they will get a small packet of crisps and scatter them around on the floor, dancing around with their holy robes all over the place, dancing like fools.
Poor challenge.
Two dancing.
Yes, we have dancing.
Was it
much?
Not dance and dancing?
No, no. Everybody's trying that trick on me. But...
and I would have got away with it too, if it hadn't been for you, Madeline.
I tell you what I think we should do, because in the middle of your delivery then, they gave you a round of applause for some particular remark you made, and I think that deserves a bonus point.
it's quite good as well, because it covered the fact that I was just going, blah, blah.
In this game, you have to keep going through your applause. You can't play the audience, you know.
But I repeated blah at least five times.
Can I challenge myself and have another point?
I thought it was an affliction.
Anyway, Paul, you had a correct challenge, and there are 30 seconds still available. Tell us something about chipmunks, starting now.
There was a popular group in the 1950s in America called the Chipmunks, and basically it was a man who used to use speeded-up human voice to give the impression that chipmunks were actually singing, because chipmunks don't sing at all. They're a very quiet creature, nocturnal creatures, in fact. Creatures, what's your challenge? Creatures. Let's see the colour of the challenge. Creatures.
It was in the singular each time, and Julian, you got in first. Right. And...
Have you finally lost it?
Julian, with your reputation, I'm afraid it's so difficult to say things sometimes.
What reputation?
Right. There are 18 seconds. We're going to hear from you. No, that's not funny. 18 seconds for you to talk on chipmunks, starting now. Paul Towns.
Hesitation.
You didn't even give him a chance to catch breath. An incorrect challenge, Julian. You have 17 and a half seconds. Chipmunks, starting now.
I've got an awful lot in common with chipmunks. We both like nuts and they have bulging cheeks. Apart from that, there's not a lot to say. They're little furry creatures that hop around and they climb trees. Although when I think about it...
Ross, challenge.
They don't strictly hop. They're more scamper.
Yeah, but in a hopping motion. Yes. I use the term loosely.
I was...
Ask Nicholas, he'll know.
Yes, I do.
Nicholas, you know, do they hop or do they just scamper? What do they do?
I have to make a decision. They are capable of hopping and scampering and jumping and climbing and are capable of doing anything. They're little chipmunks.
Anything?
Playing the trombone.
Can they operate a lathe?
Yeah. Can they hold a career down in the civil service and get promotions?
A small hat shop.
Can they host a children's programme about barges?
No. In physical movement, they can walk, run, hop, jump, they climb trees, they can do the lot.
But I bet you wish you were a chipmunk, didn't you? Get a chipmunk hosting this show, get a better job out of it.
I would normally give you a bonus.
No good booing him, he's doing his best. Creature, I know what I'm doing. I've been playing this game 15 years.
Right. Paul is working so hard for bonus points. Give him a bonus point because the audience enjoyed what he did. But...
thank you very much. I got one friend.
But Julian, they were not deviating and
in
any
sense.
I
was challenged.
You were challenged, yes. Oh. But it was Julian was speaking.
Oh, that's right.
So it was an incorrect challenge. Paul got the bonus point because of what he did and said. You interrupted.
I've lost the will to live.
He doesn't care about chipmunks. I had a lot to say about chipmunks. And the subject was taken off me.
I have to be fair with the rules of just a minute or I get these... I don't want any more letters explaining I didn't wasn't fair in a decision. So, chipmunks is still with you, Julian, and there are 10 seconds available starting now.
They leap and scamper from tree to tree.
Paul Towns.
Repetition of tree.
There were too many trees. You mentioned tree before.
How silly of me.
And tree, yeah.
I should have known.
No, it's so easy. That's a natural... What's happened, Jenny? You've got a problem here. Your watch is going wrong. Oh, we can't have a... The stopwatch is going wrong. Oh, yes, it's going all right now. It's going the wrong way.
Does that mean I've got infinity? I would have to talk about chipmunks. Well, I'm the man for the job. Keep going till 1957.
Are you working again now, Janet? It's the first time, actually, Janet has spoken on radio since she's been with us for 12 years. And we've got 6 seconds on Chipmunks with you, Paul, starting now.
A nocturnal, bisexual creature. They're very popular at parties. If you turn up at somebody's front door with a chipmunk under your arm, you'll be welcomed in.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taking the lead. He's one ahead of a Julian Clary, he's one ahead of Clement Freud, who's one ahead of Noss Noble in that order. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my reputation. 60 seconds starting now.
I have a reputation as a bespoke Nancy boy and renowned homosexual, which makes it particularly difficult when I go out to meet girls. The other day, I met a dental receptionist called Sonia. I invited her back to my luxury home called Show Business Lodge. She spread herself out on the sofa, and then she said, "Hang on a minute, aren't you that puff off the telly?" I said, "No, you're mixing me up with someone else, possibly Dale Winton." "No," she said, I want you now, big boy."
I'm sure she said that, but unfortunately, in just a minute, you can't repeat it. So, just give me here your chance.
Repetition of I want,
yes, yeah, right. Well. Paul, you've got in on the subject of my reputation with 27 seconds available, starting now.
Surly but fair, I think, is how a lot of people see me. I was once at the Comedy Store doing a show with the Players, and I went down the steps about 20 minutes before everybody else, and somebody told me, as they were following me down, another person...
Ross Chalmers.
Repetition of down?
Yes, you went down the steps and then you went down. Right. So, Ross, you got in on the subject and you have 15 seconds. My reputation starting now.
I have to protect my reputation as a dandy and a man about town and have to cultivate it very heavily because I'm not. I'm essentially a bloke who sits around in a beanbag eating miniature pizza biscuits in my town.
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of around. Around yes. town, it's around the beanbag.
I'm afraid so, yes, fair dues. So Paul's got in with... can I clear my throat and cut it out?
Cut your throat. Let's have a show of hands. All those who want Nicholas to cut his throat, put your hands up. I've never seen... That's a forest. I call that a forest.
I never thought the audience would be so mean. Do you want Nicholas to cut his throat? And they all laugh. Oh, dear, Paul. Right, you have the subject of my reputation. 3 seconds starting now.
Handsome, cheap, sultry, with a little hint of exotica.
Paul Merton again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, it's also your turn to begin. The subject now is legends. Tell us something about Legends in just a minute, starting now.
Legends is a nightclub in Streatham, and I was there recently to see Sir Clement Freud's one-man tribute to Robbie Williams. What a fantastic night out. For me, the highlight was undoubtedly, "Let me entertain you." I thought it was a wonderful fantastic. The dance routine, I've never seen it. No, break dance, it's got nothing in it. Oh, it was dance routine, break dance, what's going on?
You're in challenge, sir.
Yes, was it repetition or was it not?
No.
It wasn't.
Dance, break dancing.
No, I just thought it was time I spoke.
38 seconds on Legends, starting now.
One of the greatest legends in the history of cinema.
Clement Challenge.
Second greatest legend.
Not greatest, it was great then.
Greatest.
Right.
So, are you challenging for non-repetition? It was a very good show. I don't know how you managed it.
Actually, I don't think you repeated greatest. I think you did repeat great.
No.
Everything's all right.
Yes. Yeah. Very good chairman.
No, right.
Best chairman we've ever had on this show. Best chairman.
36 seconds, Paul Legend, starting now.
Buster Keaton was a silent film comedian who made a lot of movies in the 1920s. These days, perhaps his most remembered is a film called The General. It was made in 1926.
And Clement Challenge.
Repetition of 20.
Yes, you did have the 20s.
20s. 20s and 20. Aren't they two words? Two words, 20s.
No, are we just, no. Just 1920, and that was 20.
Well, I mean 20 sounds like 20s, but it sort of stops. It hasn't got the ambition. 20 and 20s?
20s and 20 are different.
You said 1920, and then you said 1926. It's a repeat of 20.
Repetition repetition of 19, but not of 20.
Yeah. Clement, you're persistent. You've got it. 26 seconds on legend starting now.
There is a legend that Edinburgh used to be called Glasgow. This is not one to which I subscribe enormously, because Inverness, Aberdeen and St Andrews all have excellent claims for that honour, and I'm enormously proud to be here.
Paul Charles.
Well, this is absolute rubbish.
Legends are rubbish on the whole.
Oh, I don't think so. What about the legend of Robin Hood?
Rubbish.
So I think we've got to go, give the benefit of the doubt to Clement and say, though I think it's utterly untrue, there could be a legend somewhere which says it is.
Okay.
And I think it's strange, but there we are.
Okay.
And we have to go give the benefit of the doubt to Clement. 10 seconds, legends, Clement, starting now.
The legend of Robin Hood is very popular. He and his religious advisor, the spoonerist Friar Tuck, is very close to my heart. I won't...
So Clement Royce, being as it was, when gained that extra point, and he's now still in second place, but he's got points already. Julian Clary and Ross Noble follow him, but Paul Merton's still in the lead. But Clement, it happens to be your turn to begin, and the subject now is courtesy. Tell us something about courtesy in just a minute, starting now.
When I was a Boy Scout many years ago, the laws of that organisation could be summed up as honour, loyalty, beauty, brotherly, courteous, kind, obedient, smiling, thrifty, clean in body and mind. Courtesy is what I was most keen on. Old ladies who didn't want to cross the streets hadn't a chance when I was there in my uniform. I would push them over to the other side of the road while they protested. This was considered courtesy in the 1930s. I have not come across it a lot lately. Nobody stands up for me on a train. Hardly anyone on a bus, which could be because I don't use that kind of transport. That's enough.
Paul, you were the first to challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, indeed. A full stop, actually. Right, 15 seconds. Courtesy with you, Paul, starting now.
I remember when I was travelling around Australia in 1987, I'd broken my leg here at the Edinburgh Festival, and I had a walking stick, and I was travelling about on buses, and I expected at least one person at some point to stand up and say, "You can have my seat," but no, I had to hobble around that...
Paul Merton's going like the clappers and is now way out in the lead ahead of Clement Freud, Ross Noble and Julian Clary in that order. And Ross, your turn to begin. The subject is a sharp tongue. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
A sharp tongue is one of the problems with snogging robots. I find on a regular basis whenever I've been down the discotheque and picked up a Terminator and we find ourselves in an alleyway, oh, the pain, you wouldn't believe it, especially if you've just enjoyed a nice bag of chips and they're all vinegary as you're putting your lovely...
Julian, you've challenged.
And did he trip over his words a little bit, and was that...
Well, I had a metal tongue in me mouth. It's all cut with a vinegary thing.
No,
hesitation.
I don't think he tripped enough to call that hesitation. He was dribbling a little on his words, but they were coming out. And you have the benefit of the doubt. Ross, a sharp tongue still with you, 40 seconds starting now.
My mother had a sharp tongue, but that's because it was made entirely of lemon. She was involved in a bizarre scientific experiment where they were trying to create the ultimate fruity human being. What happened was the scientist took some jiff and injected it into her leg. Unfortunately, it seeped up into her head and came out in the tongue department. Who would have thought it as she shouted at us as children, spitting that juicy substance towards us, landing on our tongues, which had already been cut from doing lovely kissing with the cyborgs from the future. The agony was immense. I couldn't believe it. Get back.
The agony
is it all right if I have a lie down?
But that's it. The agony was immense. What were you talking about? The agony of keeping going under the pressure that exists in this game, because you got just one point for speaking as the whistle went, and you're still in third place. I can't get half a dozen points.
And I'm not very well.
Still behind Clement Freud, but one ahead of Julian Clary, that's all. Paul's still in the lead, and Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is gnomes. Tell us something about gnomes in just a minute, starting now.
Well, it's the bum side of the fairy world, isn't it, really? The gnome, it's not like a pixie or an elf. It's an ugly-looking creature that sits at the end of your garden. I recently got married to the wonderful Sarah, who collects chairs. I don't know why she goes to these auctions and buys so many of them. We've got about 34 of them at the moment, all different types. None of them match. But the gnomes...
Clement Challenge.
Three thems.
Oh, yes, sharp challenge. Ooh, yes, you've got one of those...
Your Robbie Williams show was rubbish. more like Shirley Williams. It was, wasn't it? I walked out halfway through.
Well, it was at least the same political party anyway. Clement, a correct challenge, 42 seconds, and gnomes are starting now.
Gnomes is spelt with a G. After which...
Paul Jones.
Well, not just with a G. There's an N, there's an O, there's... I could go on.
I know, but let's be fair. I spoke with a G, but we didn't know whether he was going to go on, say, N-O-M-E-S or not. But, so...
There was a hesitation there, definitely.
That's too late now, Paul. You can't have secondary challenges.
Wasn't that implicit in... Oh, yeah, well.
All right, no.
It doesn't matter.
No, what I'm going to do is, because the audience enjoyed what you said, we give you a bonus point for that. Clement keeps the subject for being interrupted.
Yep.
He has gnome still, and 38 seconds starting now. And you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Absolutely right. I think Clement was being generous and made sure he did hesitate, so in you go. On 37 seconds, gnomes with you, Paul, starting now.
Gnomes don't have any nipples. I don't know why that should be, because in other ways, they're perfectly physically, anatomically correct creatures. What wonderful beings they are. As they sit there near the compost, looking up with their beady little eyes, sometimes holding a fishing rod, sometimes doing an impression of...
Clement, challenge.
Two sometimes.
Two sometimes, yes. I don't think you should clap unless it's Paul, because I must explain to our listeners, Clement, who's sitting beside Paul, was looking at him with his finger on his buzzer right under his nose, intimidating him, but he did very well to keep going.
And I wouldn't do that.
Hmm?
I wouldn't do that.
No, not in this show. But
not
you
in this show,
in the
wouldn't
past, right. And Clement, you have the subject, and you have 22 seconds. Gnomes are starting now.
If someone were to ask you what...
Audience, this is radio, so I have to explain. Paul intimidated Clement even more by undoing his shirt front. In fact, we were all intimidated, including the audience. We're all shouting in the back, do it up again, please.
He hasn't got any nipples.
I am a gnome.
And, Ross, you were the one to challenge first. Hesitation, yes, indeed, that's right. And 19 seconds for you on gnomes, starting now.
They sit there with their beards and their little fishing rods. In fact, they survive entirely on a diet of seafood. Not many people realise that Captain Birdseye was, in fact, from gnome stock. He had that particular facial hair, but sadly he grew too big and was cast aside and forced to travel the seven seas, flying his...
I don't think a round's ever gone so long in his life before. Ross Noble speaking as a whistle wind. With another point, he's now equal with Clement in second place. He a few ahead of Julian Clary and one or two behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And that is the situation as we go into the final round. Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is fighting the flab. I don't know why they've given it to you, but talk of the subject if you can, starting now.
Flab, I believe, is an acronym for Federation of Lithuanian Accordion Bands, possibly Fraternity of Latin American Bastards. But also, if you think about it, flab is avoirdupois. It is the extra weight, possibly around your waist and chin. And Dr. Atkins is currently the man to fight it.
Paul Challenge.
Isn't he dead? Didn't he die about 6 months ago? Then he can't be currently the man to fight it.
Yes.
Well, I think, actually, colloquially speaking, he was conveying the Atkins diet is probably the way to fight it. So I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt, because
okay.
I understood what he meant.
Yes.
He didn't actually specifically say, Dr.
Atkins is the man to fight. He didn't actually specifically say that, did he?
No.
He didn't specifically say, Dr. Atkins... Hopkins is the man to fight it. The fact he's dead, you didn't understand that, that's fine.
No, I understood
it,
Paul.
I mean, he's losing weight day by day, I agree.
I understood it, Paul.
You understood it?
Yes, yes.
Is that the litmus test, is it?
Yes, yes. Paul, no, he didn't say that Dr. Atkins was dead. I mean, we know he's dead, but...
I know. He said Dr. Atkins is the man.
Is the man, right. He meant the Atkins diet. I understood that. The audience understood it. The listeners probably understood it. I'm sorry you didn't understand it. Clement, you have the subject. You have 35 seconds and a point, of course, fighting the flab, starting now.
As the audience understands it so well, there'll be no need for me to elaborate on the good medical physician's American ideas of losing... pounds.
Paul Towns.
That was a hesitation.
Yeah,
that was a hesitation. Yeah. You've got in, Paul, so you want it, and you want the subject, I mean, and you want... 24 seconds, fighting the flab, starting now.
I question the acronym Federation of Latin American Bastards, because I think if you were of that type, why would you join a club? Surely there's something you want to keep quiet if you were born in Peru and you didn't...
Julian Challenge.
Aren't we deviating from the subject?
Yes, indeed you are.
It's a lottery, this, isn't it, really?
It's a delicate decision for me every time, but
I have
to...
Yeah, you always get it wrong.
I try to be fair within the rules of just a minute and to be fair for everybody. And, Julian, you had the benefit of the doubt here. There is one. And it is fighting the flab. 14 seconds, starting now.
One of the most successful ways to fight the flab is to exercise. Get up in the morning, put on a pair of jaunty shorts and some shoes and socks and hop round the block on one leg. You'll soon find your sweat falling from your brow and the calories will...
A moment ago, we had no more time to play, just a minute, so well, that was the last round, and we finished up in a very interesting situation, and that is that Clement Freud, Ross Noble and Julian Clary are all equal in second place. You are no doubt clapping their contributions, which is more important than the points they gain, but Paul Merton did get more points again, so he finishes up with what we call the winner. A round of applause for Paul Merton. Thank you to these four fine, exciting and intrepid players of the game. Paul Merton, Ross Noble, Julian Clary and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle so delicately. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the Pleasance on the Fringe in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way. They seem to have enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it. From me, Nicholas Parsons, from our audience, from our panel, goodbye. Tune in next time.